I had been muttering a prayer which refers to chewing on the cud like a cow does. They continually, you know, re-chew their food and process it. And there's something spiritual that's very significant to that in the word that we, it's what meditation actually means. It means to get something and continue to meditate on it. And so when you have things, actually, we have this naturally. We have worries. Anybody need taught about worries? Or do you have that down? Or concerns? You understand that? Does you need that defined, or does that happen on regular? So these things that come on us that we're just, there's a heaviness about it. We're concerned about it, either for ourselves, for someone else. They're burdens. And so it's actually a natural thing, and it's not something that we should resist. It's something we should flow with. It's like if your body begins to get too hot, then you find ways to cool down. If your body is too cold, like some of you are sitting here this morning cold, too cold. We bumped this up a little bit. I try to keep this side warm and that, but it, yeah, compensated. then we do something about it. And when with these worries and concerns, you need to begin to approach the Lord and not just try to get rid of it, but to get a prayer for it, to get direction, get a word for it. Like, and the Lord's faithful to do that. And I think, so I'll just encourage you, that's the good way and healthy way that you process that. And out of that will come solutions. What is the saying? Need is the mother of all inventions, like a situation, something you've got to overcome. It's amazing how creative we get when we're faced with a need or dilemma. And I encourage people to go down to the Ark that is down in Kentucky, actually. How many of you have actually been to the Ark, the restructuring of the actual Ark? I always say this. I was like, even men will be fascinated with it. The architecture, the structure, like what they recreated. And all when it's visual, it helps you so much. I'm telling you, it will impact you. And it's not cheesy. It is well done. It's well documented. And it's wheelchair accessible. It's air conditioned. It's something really cool. And you can go at your own speed, walk through all the displays. And it just, whether all of it is accurate as far as the replication, it's very feasible. It's all done with great intentions to describe the reality and show the reality of what it was really like. And when you see the ingenuity that probably was in this ark to deal with all the issues and the things that went on, you go, how did they know that back then? Do you understand you've been influenced with a caveman mentality that isn't scripture? I have one daughter. She wasn't born to us and then left to herself to figure life out. Right? I was involved in her life, and Phyllis was involved in her life, and of course a whole community. And so we worked at teaching her and training her and showing her things so that she didn't have to come from this person put on the planet that has no influence, but she was influenced and taught, and there was inspiration around her and instruction. And we think that early man didn't have a God that's creative. I know, and this is not true. Every time you have a problem to resolve, this goes back to my original thing, like You set your heart, if it's not a spiritual thing, then you lay in your bed. You should actually pray. But we don't. We go like, I got to figure this out. Norm was just talking to me about a deck issue, you know. And it's like, don't forget to pray for natural things, for help with natural things. Because there is a Father in heaven that's always been there from the beginning. And how much with a relationship with a creator and a father, Adam and Eve, what did the fall, before the fall, he walked in the garden with them. They had interaction with the living God. And he would teach them and show them things. And so our forefathers, going back to Bible times, though it's a long way removed from us now, it doesn't mean they didn't know how to and perceive how to do things, because they were instructed. They're instructed by the Lord, and there was help for that. And so there was ingenuity and things around long before the 20th century. Say, duh. It's funny, I remember being on the ark going, oh my, I have a mentality here. I've been influenced more by evolution than I want to ever admit. Because of the pictures, and by gosh, it was in the textbooks from my early days, the progression of man. And you go, I don't believe that, but it still affected you. You still have this image that needs to be erased, because in the beginning, God created, and in the beginning, he was involved. He was a father that had his fingers in things. He was a father that sent help. He was a father that inspired and taught us things. And so every need is an opportunity for you to pray. And I began to pray in this present chaos that's manifesting itself around the world. What's my real strength of influence? How do I actually make a difference? What matters? If I just get triggered and act like them, that just exacerbates the problem, actually. And pretty soon, we're back to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a gunshot for a gunshot and a comment and a comment for a comment. And the church is in place. We are to be this ever loving, ever living, redemptive solution to this. And as you look at your Bible, the men of old, Daniel, on and all of them, they had wisdom to the point that kings would seek them out and get counsel from them. Because they perceived they could hear from the living God, and even if they weren't believing kings themselves, they would seek out this counsel. They would seek out this wisdom, and this wisdom would come into play and would remedy, a real solution. Solomon and his wisdom. Did you just talk about this? Yeah, was that in your message? Yes, you were just saying that. I'm like, somebody just said this. It was Kevin. And the people, when they saw the wisdom, like that situation with those two prostitutes and the baby and the one that died and the one, when the people heard of this, it was so profound for them to see the wisdom that Solomon had and how he resolved the situation. They were deeply impacted. Let the world be deeply impacted by our wisdom. I don't feel it's right for you to put your head in the sand and not know what's going on, because I can't handle that stuff. I don't think I've done that. That doesn't work either. It's good to know, and with good knowledge, I've had opportunity to tell a couple people that are talking about the president or other situations, and they make a false statement that I know isn't the truth, and I just interject the truth. Well, here's the truth to that situation. And boom, it just stops. It just stops the thing. Someone commented to me about the president. Well, he fired a general. Like, how could you? I said, well, that's nothing. Obama fired 17 to 20 of them. Oh, I didn't know that. No, I bet you didn't. Because the media made sure they didn't tell anybody about that. So I didn't get into an argument. I just made a statement that I happened to know was the truth. And so I think we should know the truth. Get good information. Good information will help people that are still able to be helped, still able to be spoken to. Something has happened to our leaders, and we use terms like liberals and Democrats and et cetera, et cetera. Do you understand? I was reminded of this week. Many, many, most of them, the past presidents, many of these politicians, these senators, these congressmen, they were saying the exact same thing that the president is saying right now, just several years back. Exact same things. They had the same exact thing they were saying about borders, how important they were saying the exact same things. You've got to have borders. They're important. We've got to have immigration policies. They're important. They were talking about, I listened to a black man that's actually on one of the news networks that's very liberal. And this man is now very liberal. He happens to be black. And someone played a clip of him just a few years back. And he also was talking about the issue for the black community. And he said, the problem with the black community is that they're fatherless and they need fathers. So I only refer to that to say, and we keep all trying to figure out how can this be? How can they be talking like this? Churches and even different religious groups are kind of jumping on some of these bandwagons, and you're like, what is wrong with you people? Like, what's happened to you? We have Supreme Court justices that have been compromised, started out one way, and they've changed. What changed them? What happened? They're voting different. They're looking at things. Something happened. I don't have the answer to that, but something drastically happened to these people. Something drastically happened where they now speak things that aren't true, and even they forsook even their own convictions from years back. We have the proof and evidence. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood people. We're fighting, we're standing in a spiritual battle, and we've got to be spiritually minded. And we have to, and my prayer is, what's my real influence? What's my real thing? I began to get answers, and the Spirit, because I was praying earnestly about, direct me, guide me, I need to see something. And I ran into this little booklet by Derek Prince, who has passed away now, but he was one of the solid Bible teachers of our times. And I never was able to really connect with his reading. Didn't disagree, just, you know, how you read something and go, I'm not getting anything. I'm not connecting with this. And I something directed me to. I bought some of these books, and which I still have 5 or 6 left in my box here to give, and for people that want one. And I begin to pray, read this little booklet about prayer, about prayers and proclamations, and how he lays this out, and I saw this because I had come to this conclusion. My real question was, how do I make sure I have influence with God? I can get a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus or whatever, but it doesn't mean that what's inside has changed, is different. How do I have real influence? I can dress up like it, but I want to have this place where I can be on the earth as he's instructed, our Father in heaven. We hallow his name, we worship him, we praise him, and we stand here on this earth praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our part is to stand between on earth, reaching up to heaven, pulling down and bringing access to bringing the kingdom here, because the kingdom brings peace and joy and love and health and wealth and healing and restoration, all the elements of what we want to see. So how do I have influence? How am I able to access that? If I'm another angry person walking around, if I'm another offended person, even if I think it's for right, every person that's offended thinks they're justified, just saying. First thing out of there, you're like, oh, you're edgy about that. You're like, well, what do you get? You get their rebuttal. Well, here's why. Somebody did someone wrong, you know? And I can prove it. I've got the evidence. I have the proof. I rehearse them all the time. And so I don't want to be another person that's offended. Again, that doesn't help anything, doesn't fix anything. I want to be a person that is calm, that represents the kingdom, that I will have. The truth has power and authority. And we stand. We stand in the truth. We learn to stand in the truth, and we learn to have this access and this influence with heaven. So we began to look, we're looking, and what we do in this process is we get our eyes fixed back on the power of the word and the power of the promises of God. And I read was it just last week that I started this message? That's true, yeah. And I started out with Isaiah 55, which is this promise. The Lord says, I'll send my word to the earth and it doesn't return to me void. It accomplishes what I sent it to do. Now, Christian, do you believe that? We're challenged here. Do we believe what we say we believe? Do we believe it to the extent that it affects us? That this is what we mutter day and night? Well, the Lord sending his word, speaking the word, it doesn't return to the Lord void. Whether we see it or not, whether we think it or not, whether our momentary observation verifies that or not, the truth is, speaking the word, speaking the truth, it matters. And so I went through this, and just to quickly reiterate, we looked at Isaiah 55, 10 through 11 was that passage. Hebrews chapter 3, 1, it talks about the high priest of our confession. And Derek Prince said, no confession, no high priest. If you're going to claim that he's your high priest, then there needs to be a confession that establishes that. It needs to be what's on your lips, that he is Lord, and that we establish this by our confession. And that we make proclamation, and a proclamation is to shout out or to confess. To confess equals to say the same as. This is where we have to make a departure from our opinions that we cherish so dearly. We have little opinion boxes. You set it on your dresser every night, and you pat it and go, oh, I'm so proud of my opinions. We treasure it, and someone triggers us to give our opinions, and we just like, you can give your opinions with a lot of passion. It's funny how we have more passion for our opinions than we do for the word sometimes. Guilty? I have been very guilty. If we could develop the same passion for the promises of the Lord and what he declares over this earth, even when we're calling what is not to be, even then, he speaks what is not as though it were. To that extent, to that place, I've been very slow to yield to this, though there's been teaching for years in the church. I've resisted it, my stubbornness. This isn't manipulation. This is like a true, pure, like, here's how this works. And so we start, our confession needs to be in agreement with something else. You make confessions all the time, and you're making agreement all the time. It's just the question is, what are you agreeing with? What's your self-talk as you look at yourself in the mirror? That will reveal some things. What's your self-talk when you're by yourself and you're considering yourself? Or the last mistake you made? Bouncing the checkbook can put most of you right over the, whatever. You're like, your life is over, God hates me, I'm a failure. It's a check, like, it's not even real money. That'll mess you up, stop. Yeah, I'm sorry if I even said that. Is it possible the whole economy is an illusion? It's very possible. Anyways. But let's keep playing the game. We don't want to fall apart at this moment. A proclamation is a confession that is made aggressive. So I love it when this is Phyllis's part, and I've resisted it sometimes, but she feels very compelled to make her confession aggressive. Like, come on, let's say it like we know it, you know? And I'm glad she's on our side. She could start a rally, a riot, a something, you know? Like, I'm glad she's with us. And she gets in that mode and she just takes off. She feels bad about it later, but she cannot help herself. Was that too much, Rick? Like, okay, I'll get in trouble for this, but anyways.
Yeah, right.
So I want to take a moment. One of the things that I want to hit today is what Derek Prince wrote about a herald, you know, like Hark the Herald Angel sang, and it wasn't an angel named Herald, it was, you know. There was a concept, it's not so much in our culture, but of heralding something and how valuable it was. And as soon as I find the page, I'm gonna read what he said about it. Proclaiming is really the activity of a herald. Now, you'll really understand this. We use other methods to do the same thing now. But before our technology and our ability to communicate and publish things, this was very important, actually. There was no other way for the people of a community to know what the king or the duke or whatever he was. It says, herald is a word we don't use very much today, but in medieval times, the herald was a person with authority from a king, a duke, or some other nobleman who would go to a public place and make a proclamation of the will and decision of that ruler. It was the ruler's way of communicating to the public. He would shout out, and this, the word is O-Y-E-S, O-Yes, O-Yes, or there were different words we know, but he would go out and he would proclaim a word. And of course, Derek Prince was from England. He says, so whenever people heard O-Yes, O-Yes, or hear ye, whatever phrase you may be familiar with, they knew it represented the voice of authority. So that's what that's about. Hear ye, and when this that you heard this cry, you stopped what you were doing, and you listened, you paid attention, because this is an official, oh yes, that's the herald, and he has a message that's from the king. I know that guy. He's the real deal. He wears the ring. He has authority to speak for the king, and what he says, we need to pay attention to. They knew it represented the voice of authority. They would stand at attention and listen to what was being said. In the New Testament, although it doesn't clearly come out in most translations, the word preach is the word for a herald. It means to proclaim. So this is, and every time as believers, we proclaim something that we've waited on the Lord and we know this is truth. This is the truth in context. We're using it the appropriate place and time. We've taken time to pray and ask the Lord what he's saying in this situation. I think that's really important. And we talked last week about the word and the spirit, but the letter kills. But when the letter and the spirit are combined, they bring life. And so every time we speak and we have the spirit, we speak the word is united with a breath, with a spirit, and it brings life. It has power to restore and bring something to life. So it's really an awesome concept that our speaking makes such a difference. And so we want to herald this, and I want to find a place where then as I herald, because we know we can say things and it hits the ground. This is the agony of being in the ministry. Sometimes it seems to just go like an arrow, and other times what you sing, what you say, what you preach goes and doesn't even get it to the first row. Like, what's up with that? You know, you're like, it's an issue of anointing. We talk a lot about the anointing. There's times when you hear words, but they're not getting yours. And then we say, That was anointed. What are we saying when we're like, there's oil on it to get to my spirit. There's oil on it to change someone, to transform someone. There's life in it. And you find a worship leader that's really living the life, really has a connection with God, and they worship. They can sing the same song as someone else does, and all of a sudden, you're just impacted. Like, it reaches your spirit. Like, it goes deep in. It reaches you. And so we want to be people that have that oil on us. We have that favor from the Lord to be sent from him as a herald, that we're proclaiming something that actually has the power to bring life, that makes a transformation. And so I was reading, this could have been since, I can't remember what I shared last week or not, but Isaiah 66, I'd run across a scripture. We're talking the last chapter of Isaiah. This is the wrap up after 66 chapters, or on 66. And the Lord begins in this chapter to speak, and he says, "This is what Yahweh says, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Like, I own it all. What can you do for me that will impress me? Can't build me a house that's any greater than the heavens, and like, where is the house you will build for me? How about this little box? How about this little shanty, this little shed? Look, Lord, what we built for you. Like, in reality, what can you do for me? My hand made these things, so they all belong to me, declares Yahweh. But there is one my eyes are drawn to. So, now we're into the good stuff here. Now we're into the secrets. The Lord's revealing his heart. What can you do for me? It doesn't matter how big it is. Cathedrals, blah, blah, blah. It may impress men. It doesn't do anything for me but here, I'm going to let you in on a secret about my heart. As he's speaking through Isaiah, but there is one my eyes are drawn to, the humble one, the tender one, the trembling one, or the word contrite, where there's brokenness, not a haughty spirit, but humble, a person who's humble. Meekness, not weakness. Meekness is the choice to be weak, to be soft, when you could be loud, when you could be powerful. It's that choice. Jesus was meek. He was very powerful. At his word, he could have commanded 10,000 angels to obliterate the whole situation, huh? But he was meek in how he went through his life and then his crucifixion and death. The humble one, the tender one, the trembling one, the one who lives in awe of all I say, or some translations say, the one who trembles at my word. And I stopped at this and I went, wow, you have those moments where you have to ask hard questions of yourself. Do I tremble at his word? Do I have that level of awe, or have I lost it, or did I ever have it? I mean, it's like And then you realize, I can't even do anything about that. I can't make myself tremble. You can't conjure that up. It has to come out of a true experience and an awareness that it's beyond your ability to create. You can't fabricate that. Where you listen, you hear the word, taps into the understanding of what the fear of the Lord is. Or do we live fearfully from the Lord, like looking over our shoulders all the time, wondering if he's going to bug zap you? No. That wouldn't be grace, would it? That wouldn't be love. That wouldn't be living in the household of a good father. But there is this element of the fear of the Lord, and it is that you fear him because you realize who he is actually, what he's capable of actually, that you don't deserve anything actually, that you are in this state of, I believe in you, I receive you, and you scare me to death. And that's okay. And so I was drawn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, I think it is. And so in that state, as you turn to Genesis 6, if you have your Bible, I'm going to make sure that's the right passage. Yes. That all I could do is say, Lord, I need you to even give me the revelation of the power of your word and the power of your and the power of who you are. Like, and when we become presumptuous and we're full of our opinions, then we convince ourselves, I'm good. I'm great. So that's self-talk. I'm not totally against it. Like, yeah, but it's not the same as coming before the Lord and humbling yourself and letting him exalt you and letting him raise you up so that you don't have to boast in yourself, but your confidence is in him and in his promise. And I'm like, I spent time this week going, I can't conjure this up. I'm humbled. Like, I'm totally at your mercy for you to reveal yourself to me. And every time I come to these moments in my life and I start to mutter these prayers continually, asking the Lord to bring me to that place, he answers those prayers. In time, I find I've entered into something that's huge. I'm totally unable to make it happen. All I can do is, Lord, bring me to that place. Quicken my spirit. Make me alive to things I've become dull to. And dullness is like, it's like the blades on your lawnmower. You mow grass, the blades get dull. The sharper the blades, the better the lawn looks, yeah? And the same with our walk with the Lord. Just living the life, your blade's gonna get dull. Dullness sets in. Stuff happens, you get tired, you get weary, and it's purposefully that you go, Lord, sharpen me, quicken me, tune me in. I'm getting blunt. Is your life feel like you're just beating the grass to death instead of cutting it? You know, a dull knife. You reach in the drawer and grab a knife and you go to cut a tomato and it squeezes the tomato, you know? Like, oh no, you're gonna cut tomatoes, you gotta have a sharp knife. Right? And you want to find the anointing and be useful and be a herald, you've got to find sharpness. You've got to find, and you're totally unable to do it in yourself other than to say, I need sharpened. I need quickened. I need to be attuned to what you're saying, attuned to humility, attuned to a contrite. This is how I have power in this life. This is how I have influence to change things in my community, into my family, into the people that I'm like dying. Like, how do I help them fix them? They're going off the cliff. Like, and the real influence is to learn how to pray, influence with God and the Father. He can awaken a person. You will make a mess of it the more you get your fingers in it, but he has this ability to awaken a person's heart because he knows what's really going on. And when the Lord does it, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful thing to see. I love watching this. We want to encourage ourselves. It's hard to give testimonies too because a lot of these things are things you can't talk about, but I watch them in my life as I'm working with other people and they're working with other people. And the real power, and you see people that are going left to center badly. And you go, oh my gosh, sound an alarm. Let's go talk to each other about it. By the way, that's wrong. That's gossip. When's the last time that you and somebody got together, talked about another person, and helped anything? Matter of fact, the more you know, the more useless you are to really resolve the situation. That's the truth. But when you keep these secrets between you and the Lord, and we do observe things, and that's not wrong. You see, it's not judging people. It's like, oh boy, this is not good. Bring it to the Lord and get a prayer and get influence. Humble yourself. Come with a contrite spirit and save their lives by praying, crying out. This is a, develop this, people. Let's have more testimonies as we pray and have power and we have testimony that we prayed. Like, I love what Karen, this story with Karen, where she's talking to this girl and she tells her, close your eyes, imagine Jesus. Do you understand? Karen could have given her counsel, instruction. We'd be like, oh yeah, that was a good thing to say to her, encourage her. But she knew what this girl needed, this person needed, was an encounter with Jesus. Nothing short of that was going to help her. And she had the fortitude to go to just, let's do it right now on the phone. Close your eyes. You need to see Jesus. And she does, and that little event changed things. Hope came into the situation. And we're all faced with a lot of hopeless things. And there's an access, a place of influence with the Lord where we can see answers. Genesis 8, in our conversation this morning, my conversation with Phyllis, just interacting with her, and so I forget what we were talking about, and out of my mouth came, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm like, I think that's a scripture. Like, sometimes you're not sure if it was a song or if it was this, you know, like, I know that's that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I got to look this up. And it is. And different versions state it differently. But God is at this crucial moment. It would be kind of like, almost like he's looking at our nation right now. And he sees the evil, the horrendous evil that's going on. It's just getting exposed to us. He's seen the level of evil. And he comes to this conclusion, I think I'm going to take the whole nation out. Just buzz, delete. And he's declaring this because mankind have become so bad at this point. Yahweh said back to verse 3, my spirit will not strive with humanity indefinitely, for they are mortal. Their lifespan will be shortened by only 120 years. They were living for several hundred years. Back then and later, there were giants on the earth, and it goes on and talks about the giants, and we know, if you understand that a lot of horrible things came about because of that. And in that, there's like this break in the story, and it just, boom, just insert, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man found grace in the sight of Yahweh. His name was Noah. So we don't get a lot about this, but we know from what does attract the Lord, to this one I will pay attention, to one who is humble, to one who has a contrite spirit, to one that fears me, that trembles at my word. Noah, whatever the elements are of that, Noah must have qualified. He qualified to catch the Lord's attention. This was the Lord was putting together an extinction event. You understand that? Let's start over. How many of you, when you're making something, especially if you worked at it for a long time and it just gets worse and worse, whatever you're building, whatever you're cooking, whatever you're making, and oh boy. And you go, whew, I'm just going to throw this thing away and start over. God revealing his heart in Genesis 6 goes, I'm there. This is a hot mess. This is a contaminated, horrible mess. I created it, and I can end it. And he was considering that. Now, that'll put some fear of God in you right there. That's reality. You don't have to take that out of your Bible. But he looked, and he saw Noah, and he comes up with a plan to save humanity through Noah. There's a lot of destruction, a lot of reality, a lot of things that happened there. and Noah obeys the Lord, does what he's instructed to do, builds an ark, saves him and his family, and the Lord starts over again through that. But this phrase, he found favor. If the Lord sees you, finds you, will he find favor? Will you find favor in his eyes? I want to attract his favor by believing him in him. You can make the adjustments in your heart. You can humble yourself. It's just amazing how quickly we step into judgment. We see things, we're getting triggered, and that's not right, and pretty soon we're ranting on Facebook and whatever, and like, shame on you. Like, stop acting like that. I'm just going to tell you, don't do that. Stop. Pull up. Find favor with the Lord. Get good information, and especially hear from the Lord in his heart. The world is desperate to hear the redeemed, to hear us come with wisdom, to hear us come with an answer that will actually change things. You don't have to be in secret. It doesn't mean you never say a word. It doesn't mean you stay disengaged. We need to show up, but we need to show up with this favor from the Lord, favor on us. And so I'm concerned about finding favor. I've made some adjustments where I'm like, what I really want to do is know that I have favor from the Lord. And so my prayers day and night, like I'm searching for this place, and I start to, all you have to do is walk from here to there on the planet, and you'll get attacked, like you'll get stirred up. It's a tough battle to fight. It really is. Just go out in the world, spend a little bit of time, and it's not easy. It's very challenging. But we're called to something. We're called to bring peace and bring a word. And you may have to stand against people and things, and that's not a problem. We need to have the resolve to stand for what's truth and to resist evil. But it's an attitude. It's a heart thing. Do you care about people? Do you want God to just wipe people out, or do you really care that they'll come to the truth and come to repentance? You don't get to choose, and people are awakening all over. They're awakening, and it doesn't come from the striving of people, but it comes from revelation. The Lord reveals things, and all of a sudden you see what you didn't see. And more of that happens when you are not messing in it, and you're just being yourself. When you and I aren't making a mess of the thing, and we're just walking in the truth, declaring what we know and we believe, and not being angry and not being offended. Can we walk through this world right now without being offended? Wow, that's a tough call. But that's where the power's at. That's where the power's at. And to maintain this and seek the Lord so that we're not full of opinions, but we hear his voice, we know what he's saying in the midst of the troubles and trials. And you release that word, and I believe this with all my heart, it'll bring peace to people. Even the person in the store that you don't know, even whoever, just have a good response. Have a Jesus response to things. It just will silence that. And it'll bring hope, and it'll bring peace. It's our calling. It's our destiny. We owe it to our children. We owe it especially to the Lord to find favor with him and discover the real source of prayer. Like, I thank all of you that are my intercessors, the people that keep showing up and praying and doing those things. You have to understand, if you're doing that and you're doing that while you're motivated, there's a gift on you to intercede. I pray too, but I watch, like, wow, you flow in that. Like, y'all flow in. So flow in what you flow in. In your prophecies, in your intercessions. Like, if that's on you, run, man. Like, run with it. Release it. Let's be the body. We all have our part to play. And what, again, this is a question for every day. What does the world look like if believers step into their callings and their giftings and just function in that? and avoid all the obstacles and avoid all the offenses and avoid all the things that pull you off the track. Satan's great plan, his great tactic is to get you all consumed in something else. I've looked back at my life, I've seen how many times I got all distracted on some campaign. I had no power. In the end, it was like, that was a waste of time and energy, and I didn't accomplish anything, but I did lose some ground. Whereas, find your place to walk, your path to walk, your calling, your things where your real convictions are, and be true to that, and watch and see what happens. Follow those things. Obey the Spirit. Like, yield and subject yourself to one another in a good way. Like, we have the elements of a true body here. Like, let's celebrate that and use that and be the body and be members one of another, one body, one Lord, one Christ. And there's a lot of potential and power in who we are and what we are. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask for your grace today to be on us. I ask that you'll give us grace to be unoffendable, to pull up from the offenses and the distractions and understand what is wrong about the attitude or how we're going about some of this. You ask us to be salt and light. Matthew 5, we're to be salt of the earth and light, city on a hill. To proclaim the good news, to join you in the declaration of your promises, of your word. Let us go after the hearts of men and understand something horrible has happened to some of these people, something that doesn't make any sense at all. And so we pray for them. Lord Jesus, the spirit of delusion of whatever has come, we have compassion, we humble ourselves because we understand that except by the grace of God, so would I be there. So would I miss it. So would I be under delusion. I'm not that good. It's only by your grace that I can see the truth and walk in the truth in the areas that I see it and have it. So, Lord, we choose to humble ourselves, a choice to step down from the opinions and the haughtiness and the judgments, and to look for the truth, and to stand in the truth, and to trust in your ways and to trust in your word. And I ask for that grace to be on every person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.